Heavenly Father, thank you that you are mightily present here this evening. Heavenly Father, we open our hearts, we willingly open our hearts to the presence of your Holy Spirit, and we say, come, Holy Spirit, and now dwell in our hearts and challenge us, live there, grow there, inspire us from there. And may we have obedient hearts to you, Father in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. So I'm going to read a passage to you tonight, which you'll all be familiar with, and then we'll try and pick some bits out that maybe challenge a little bit. All right. So the passage, if you want to follow along, is from Matthew. It's from Matthew 6. I'm beginning to read at verse 19. Matthew 6, beginning to read at verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I was praying a lot about what I would be talking to you about tonight. We had no fixed agenda, no fixed theme, and I was struggling a little bit as to what the Spirit was saying to me about what I should be teaching about or what I should be talking about. And then I was watching, I came upon a TV show. All right, I came upon a TV show. I'm just letting you know how my weird thinking moves. And it doesn't get any weirder than the name of the TV show. Because, I had a few days off. And I don't go to the vestry looking to dock my pay, because we are allowed a few days off. And was waiting for the news to come on, and so was channel hopping. And landed upon a program called Loose Women. which comes on at lunchtime. Daily, so I've discovered, right? And the very title, when I was a lot younger, my mother told me what loose women were. So to conceptualize or to conceive of a television program that is now called Loose Women, I couldn't get my head around that. But as I flicked to the channel on my way to find the news, the question for the discussion for Loose Women that day came up on the screen, and the question was this: are you worried about the state of the world? And this was after the death of the Iranian general, after the Ukrainian airliner shot down, after the Iranian bombing of the two American bases, etc. All this stuff was going on. And so this was the question on primetime television, middle of the day, massive audience on the television program Loose Women, and they were going to sit down and philosophically and morally dissect this question. And I thought, you know what, that's an absolutely flipping brilliant question. That is a brilliant question. A question of the time and the moment. Are you worried about the state of the world? And when you consider all the things that are going on, you could be forgiven for not being worried, couldn't you? I mean, look at everything that's happening. And of course, there will be many in the Christian community, because they spend their days doing this, trying to work out where that happens in the Bible. Where did the Bible talk about that plane being shot down? And they're trying to work stuff out, which will end up fruitless. But unfortunately, some of our brothers and sisters, they work away at that, trying to see where this fits in end times theology and all the rest of it. But the question itself, are you worried about the state of the world? Well, really, we should be. As Christians, we should be worried about the state of the world. And so tonight, I'm going to speak, and I'm speaking to you, and I'm looking at you, and I don't see faces, I see hearts. Okay? I see hearts. I see heart here, heart here, heart here, hearts. While you're all beautiful and handsome and all the rest of it, I'm looking at hearts. And I believe the Lord is speaking to your heart this evening. And then as I was considering this question, I was then drawn to these passages in Matthew 6, with which we are all familiar. All right? We're all familiar. 101 in Christianity, Matthew 6, there it is. And what's the basis, the general basis of what this passage is telling us? Well, it's telling us that we need to store up our riches in heaven. We need to prioritize our lives. We need to understand and see God first. We need to put God first, and we need to be continually in the process of seeking out God and looking for God. All well and good. But then, if we look a little bit deeper, in the context of are you worried about the state of the world, we begin to see not just the obvious, which you all know, but specific responsibility for those who respond according to Christ's teaching in the middle of this passage. Okay? So let's take, there's so much in those verses that I read. Let's look at a 2-2 that for me bookend this particular pieces of scripture. The first one then was right at the start. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There your heart will be also. So the first half is pretty straightforward. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. So the premise of the passage is that earthly things are temporal. Earthly things fade away and dissolve. They are open to theft. They are not permanent. They have as much value as you want to give them at the time, but when you die, you can't take them with you, therefore they have no real value at all. The earthly things of this world are simply temporal. And while many of the lovely things in this world, which God has given us for our pleasure, are all good, of course, our ability to misuse what God has given for good is great. So we have to be careful here not to lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. No point in storing or hoarding or pretending that you need stuff for a rainy day when every day matters and where the things of this world are temporary. And we get that. I hope we get that. Although I want to contend that many Christians don't. They say it, they acknowledge it, they don't live it. Okay? And all the time I want you to be thinking about this question, are you worried about the state of the world? So then the second half says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So the things of heaven are eternal. The things of heaven have no value in a worldly sense, but a tremendous value from an eternity perspective. Therefore, our aim as Christians in this world is, one, yes, enjoy the good gifts that God has given us in this world, but do not prioritize them over heaven and eternity. Do not for a second think that the purchase of, say, a new car is over and above your need of your salvation or your walk with God or how you're walking with God or the things that you're doing every day in the service of God. They do not. It's not to say that purchasing a new car is bad, but there's something going on in our hearts and in our minds, but in our hearts in particular, and as I told you, you're all hearts. You're all hearts tonight. There's something going on there that should be saying, I'm putting God first. I'm living a life that puts God first. And then we get the killer ending to this particular passage, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. A very clear statement that if you prioritize the earthly, your heart resides in the earthly. And you can pretend until your heart's content, forgive the pun, but that is not the case. But it is absolutely the case if you prioritize things here on earth and do not prioritize the heavenly and the eternal, you're in trouble. So over and above the basic teaching about things, there is a question that stabs you in the heart about where your priority in this world for Jesus resides. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Fine. And then he goes on to teach about not being anxious, and Simon did a great job on anxiety and how to overcome that and how to be trusting and how to follow, to hear the voice and follow. Did that this morning. So I'm not going to repeat that, because that's the big gap that comes before the final bit. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added onto you. Seek first. In fact, it doesn't just say seek first, it says but. So we get this great passage about not being anxious. You no need to be afraid. You don't need to think about the clothes that you're wearing. You don't need to think about the food that you will eat. You don't need to think about the roof over your head. None of that matters, because God understands that you need all that. But seek first. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not the kingdom of God, then his righteousness. Not the kingdom of God, also his righteousness. Not the kingdom of God after his righteousness, but the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek first. Seek first. Now the word seek, here's where you get your English lesson for tonight. The word seek, grammatically, is a present imperative. You should write that down. You can impress your friends with the word seek being a present imperative. So it's not that we sought God and go, got my salvation. I sought God, saw it. It is a continuous seeking, a present imperative. Now, the word imperative there in the grammar is really important. An imperative, there is not an option. Present imperative, seek. You must be continuously seeking his kingdom. Continuously seeking his kingdom. Not just found it yesterday, or not just found it on the 4th of July, 31 years ago at 3:30 in the afternoon, and your testimony speaks volumes, and everybody goes, wow, what a testimony, and then you've forgotten about it. It is seek continuously the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And his righteousness being a right relationship with God, yes, but also being in God's will. And if I'm seeking the kingdom of God, I'm essentially seeking the King of the kingdom, which is Jesus Christ. I am continuously seeking out Jesus Christ and his will for my life, for your life. You're doing it for yourself, for your life. And all the time this question is, are you worried about the state of the world? Now, as we look at that phrase, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we then see what comes next, don't we? Because we should finish the sentence. And all these things will be added to you. And all the things that will be added are the things that Christ, God already knows you need. Clothing, food, housing, heat, whatever it is. We put it in a modern context. We can see the things that are essential to life. God knows this. God knows this. But here's where the heart really comes in. And here's where I believe that for Christians in the 21st century especially, there is a potential trap if your heart's not right. God knows that you need clothing, house, food, shelter, blah, blah, blah. What he doesn't seek to meet is your aspiration for what that might be. So he doesn't go, he needs Dolce & Gabbana jumper, big house in Malibu, Rolls Royce. You hear what I'm saying? If we come to faith and have read that in a way in which we think by coming to faith and all these things will be added on to you, if we see that as a way of getting what we want, then our heart's not right. And no wonder the world's in the state that it is. Now, I'll come back to that in a minute. But there's a trap there. Now, that trap has been beautifully exposed by those who preach, say, a prosperity gospel. This is one of the lines that gets completely destroyed. Completely destroyed and abused. This is not wish fulfillment in coming to faith and the Lord giving you all these things that will be added on to you. This is not wish fulfillment. This is the Lord meeting your needs at the point of need in the way in which he decides, because you are a faithful person who seek first, seek continuously, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, being in his will. You are in a daily process of doing that. And in the process, he will make sure you have the food, will make sure you have the shelter, and so on and so forth. Now, we know this to be true. We know this to be true. We have one of the greatest ministries devised in the 21st century goes on within this church and with other churches, and that's CAP. And I promise you, they have met the need of those who felt they were lost and out of it and had nothing, but remained faithful. And they became the instruments of God's giving and the meeting of the need. That happens daily in this parish and in many other parishes in Ireland and throughout the rest of the United Kingdom. So that need gets met. God has provided that ministry. So we know it to be true. But we must seek first, but seek first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. There's a lovely story from it's of a German preacher, 14th century German preacher called Johann Tauler. And Johann Tauler tells this story, right? And I've just printed it off so that I can read it to you and make sure I'm being faithful to the words of the story, right? So it's a remarkable story that shows something of the attitude Jesus was looking for of his disciples. These are the people who have sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, in the understanding that all will then be given to you. Not the finest of the fine, but the essentials of the essential, right? And here's the story. One day, Tauler met a beggar. "God give you a good day, my friend," he said. The beggar answered, "I thank God I have never had a bad one." Then Tauler said, "God give you a happy life, my friend." "I thank God," said the beggar, "that I am never unhappy." In amazement, Tauler asked, "What do you mean?" "Well," said the beggar, "when it is fine, I thank God. When it rains, I thank God. When I have plenty, I thank God. When I am hungry, I thank God. And since God's will is my will, and whatever pleases him pleases me, why should I say I am unhappy when I am not?" Tauler looked at the man in astonishment. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am a king," said the beggar. "Where then is your kingdom?" asked Tauler. The beggar replied quietly, "In my heart." In my heart. Those who but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness live in the kingdom of God, are obedient to the king, and will take from the king and live for the king in whatever way the king so desires. And then I thought about that story, and I reread my bit right at the start. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And the significance of the heart was leaping out of the passage. And remember, you're all hearts, thankfully beating hearts, here tonight. All right, and that's how we're going. There's the heart, and there's the seeking first, and there's the trap for Christians who think they can get rich quick by declaring a faith in Jesus Christ. Or Christians who think they can get X, Y, and Z from God by declaring a faith in Jesus Christ. And this big question on loose women, which really is a spot-on question for the whole of the world, are you worried about the state of the world? And I wondered why the state of the world was the state that it is in. Because clearly, people are not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And sadly and unfortunately, that applies to the Christian community as much as it does to the secular world. It most definitely applies in exactly the same way. And I wondered why. And I prayed a bit more about it. And unfortunately, as with most things in Scripture, we come back to a three-letter word beginning with S, and that is sin. The word sin. And I thought about that a bit more. Sin is a barrier to but seek first Even for those who have claimed a faith in Jesus Christ and salvation, as I said 35 years ago on the 10th of July at 3:45 p.m. in the afternoon or whatever it was. And I'm not being cynical about that, I'm just saying that's what some of us do. And I wondered about that. And then I too, like Simon, I'm a big movie fan. And there's a movie just out called 1917. Everybody heard of that? Well, you'll be hearing a lot more about it, I would suggest. And then there was an interview on Breakfast TV. You can see how I live my little break, holiday break. So on Breakfast TV with Sir Sam Mendes, who was the director, and he was asked, what inspired you to make this film? And the film basically, it's not a spoiler, it basically tells the story of two soldiers where the communication lines to the front have been broken down, and they have a few hours to get through enemy lines, get to the British forces and tell the British forces to call off an attack, because the attack is really going to be a trap. And it follows these two going. But Sam Mendes built the story around a story that his grandfather told him. And one of the peculiarities of his grandfather was that his grandfather, who had served at the Somme and at the front in the First World War, was continuously washing his hands. He washed his hands up to a dozen times a day. Was continuously washing his hands. Why, grandfather, are you continuously washing your hands? Because, he said, and we're talking many, many years later, I can't get the dirt of the trench off my hands. And I would respectfully suggest to you that the greatest barrier to not being able to continuously seek is the dirt of sin that we cannot as of ourselves wash away, but require the blood of Christ to do so for us. We need to be washed in the blood in order to be able to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness on a continuous basis, a daily recognition of our sinfulness, a daily recognition of just how dirty we are, yet how incredibly loved we are at one and the same time. And if we can give our lives over to the Savior who wants to wash us in his blood, then our hearts will be in a much better place to gather the treasure of heaven and live the lives that make the world a better place. You see, we might worry about the state of the world, and we might think we don't need to worry about the state of the world, but we do need to worry. We are in the world, but not of the world, and we're not absolved of how the world works. We're in the world, but not of the world, but neither are we absolved of how the world works. We need to follow Christ in this world in the way that he is telling us to do so, by seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and letting God take care of all the rest. And that is a matter of the condition of your heart and my heart. And that heart is dirty, and he's washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Needs thoroughly washed continuously. A continuous acknowledgement of our sinfulness. That is the mission, the discipleship we are called to. That is the way in which humility is bred within us and able to give us the strength to do the things that Jesus wants us to do, which are bigger and greater than what he ever did. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Have your heart washed tonight. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are an awesome God. Help us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Help us, Lord, to live lives worthy of the cross, to be fully engaged in the world in which we live, in the way in which you have instructed us to do, your way for our lives. Grant us great humility in doing so. Equip us with wonderful compassion for others. Give us strength, talents, the wherewithal to do your work, to change the state of the world, not to worry about it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.